Hello. Thank you for listening to and watching You at Options. This episode, I have Ryan from the very good band 500 Miles to Memphis. It's great. We talk about Elvis. We talk about their career. We cover so many topics. Make sure to go follow 500 Miles to Memphis on Instagram and their social medias. It's at 500, the number 500, Miles to Memphis. Make sure you go and follow You at Options, at You at Options. Go stream their new album, Hard to Love. It's great. It's on Paper and Plastic, the record label. Yeah. Thank you for listening. Make sure to go to thehandsomescoundrels.com/shop. Buy the You at Options t-shirt from there. Think about doing more merch. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, great conversation. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Enjoy. That's right, baby. How are you? Are you in Cincinnati right now?
Yeah, just south. I'm in Kentucky, just three exits from Cincinnati.
Newport?
Just one town south of Newport. Okay. Port Thomas.
I've been to Newport. That's cool.
I think I lost you.
Hey.
Are you familiar with the area?
A little bit. My band played Iron Fest one time up at Southgate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Dude, we've probably played together then.
Wow. It was cool. That's a cool venue, you know, an old church. Can't beat it.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Yeah, I've been listening to y'all's latest album all day in preparation for this. It came out last year during pandemics?
Yeah, October. Yeah. Yep. So not quite a year yet, but yeah, it was released in 2021. Yep.
Yeah. How has the response been to that?
That's great. It's our most streamed album we've ever done. I mean, I think it's going to overtake our most successful record we've done so far, for sure. Sales is still a little early to say, but I'm pretty sure it's going to overtake our big album that came out in 07.
Oh, yeah. So you guys have been around since 03, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about the longevity, I guess, of the band? Is that something that's always in your mind, or is that like
well, it's definitely part of our story. I mean, yeah, it has its ups and downs because you know, everybody wants something new and fresh, and a brand new band is new and fresh. But you know, when you've been around for, I mean, we're going on 20 years now. Next year will be 20 years,
right?
And you know, it's a blessing and a curse because we're probably a little jaded in some ways. But in other ways, it's just given us this, freaking real world experience of how to run a band, how to keep a band together, how to successfully, you know, make music as a team and, you know, keep it alive after all these years. So it comes with, its own set of challenges, but, I mean, ultimately, man, it's our life. It's our story.
Right.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it used to bother me, but I've kind of embraced it at this point. Like, yeah, fuck yeah. We're DIY. We've been doing it, you know, for 20 years. That's just who we are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is it, I've never been in a band with more than like four members.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys weren't like, if you guys had a, I don't know, a horn or something, I'd be like, you guys are almost pushing a ska band with the amount of members.
Got it. It depends on what year you've seen us, because our lineup, you know, like every tour we've done changes.
Yeah.
There have been times where we've had horn. We've had, we've had a 10-piece band, 12-piece band. We've stripped it down. We did a lot of touring as a 3-piece band. But that's, I think, part of why we've had so much longevity is because we've been able to keep it fun and fresh. And, you know, have a rotating cast of instruments. Mm-hmm. Because of the, like, Americana spin on the punk rock genre.
Right.
It's opened us up to have a lot of different flavors and instrumentation. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's loud guitars, bass, and drums. I mean, it's a punk band. Yeah. And then you start adding in, you know, violin, banjo, horns occasionally, right. Keys, I think my favorite iteration of the band is when we have keys, organ, violin, and then, you know, like two Marshall stacks, bass drums like that. I think that's that's been my favorite iteration over the years. Yeah, I think that's how we've been able to stay together so long, because we've been able to like touch into like different genres and scratch, you know, certain artistic itches that each one of us has.
Right.
That I think being in maybe like a regular like 4-piece rock band, we may not have been able to stay together this long. Who right. knows?
Yeah, man. Yeah, if you got, I don't know, you got a turd, tin whistle player or something, you just kick him out, get somebody else.
Yeah.
Is Cincinnati 500 miles from Memphis?
Well, my hometown of Bethel, Ohio is 500 miles away from Memphis. Yeah.
And that's where the name comes from?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Okay. Is that an Elvis thing? Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Actually, technically, the 500 comes from my hometown of Bethel, Ohio to Graceland is 500 miles. And so, yeah, that's how it came up with the name.
I don't know if you can see that guy up in there.
Yeah, dude. TCD. Hell yeah.
Have you seen the trailer for the new Elvis movie with Tom Hanks?
Yeah. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah?
What do you think?
I don't know. I think...
I mean, I'm going to see it.
Yeah, for sure. I know it's a... it's a press... Whatever the name of the Presley estate... Whatever, I know it's blessed by them or whatever, or it's like put on by them.
It?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's like, okay. I don't know. I kind of want to see like the crazy version of Elvis, you know? I don't know.
If you're, no, I was going to say, if you're a big Elvis fan, you should check out this book. Ace Tucker Space Trucker. Are you familiar?
No. What is that book?
Shit, dude. It's great. So it's like sci-fi meets Elvis meets punk rock. And it's also a podcast. It's like a War of the Worlds thing. So it's like a comedy, sci-fi, action. But Elvis essentially is immortal and runs the TCB, which the TCB is, I think, the Time Consistency Bureau. And Ace Tucker he's a trucker, so he's a space trucker, and it's just like ridiculous sci-fi adventures, and it's all kind of based around, you know, like Elvis mythology in sci-fi. It's fucking great, dude. Like, you got to check it out.
What is it? What's the name again?
Ace Tucker Space Trucker.
Ace Tucker Space Trucker. Okay.
Yeah.
Shit. I'm getting a sleeve done around this TCB, and it's like a Twilight Zone themed sleeve. And so,
oh, nice.
My tattoo artist, tattoo guy, he was like, is there an Elvis Twilight Zone episode? And I don't know if you're a fan of Twilight Zone at all.
I am, but I don't remember the Elvis episode.
There's one in like the 80s reboot series.
Huh.
And
yeah.
It's pretty, I watched it the other day. It's pretty silly because I'd never seen it before. And the premise is like this Elvis impersonator starts out. He's like in these like hotel bar singing these Elvis songs, and it's all smoky. Nobody's paying attention, that sort of thing. And you know, the impersonator's talking to his agent, and he's like, you know, I need bigger gigs, you know, that sort of rub. And he gets into a car accident afterwards, and he comes to, and he gets picked up by Elvis in 1954 or whatever. And it's supposed to be like 3 days before he goes into Sun Studio and records. And so since he resembles Elvis a little bit because he's an impersonator, he tricks Elvis into thinking that he is his dead twin brother from birth.
Oh my God.
And, spoilers.
Darren.
Yeah. Spoilers. It's been out for 30 years or whatever, but he accidentally kills the real Elvis, and then he becomes Elvis. And it's just
awesome.
Yeah.
Man, genius. I never saw that episode.
It's on YouTube. It's wild.
Did you see Bubba Hotep?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I love Bubba Hotep.
Yeah. It's being like a big Elvis fan, it's tough to explain to people that don't get it, I guess. I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm super into professional wrestling as well. And it's like, to me, it's the same thing of trying to explain to somebody like who doesn't like wrestling or get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like,
I'm one of those. I'm not a wrestling fan. I don't get it.
It's cool. It's,
I appreciate it though. I mean, I definitely wouldn't knock something that people dig.
You know, it's the oldest form of entertainment of theater and, physicality,
sure.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, but I feel the same way when people are like, oh, you're into Elvis, that like, don't like, they're, you know, they don't get it.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing. So your original question was like about that movie that's coming out, which is
right.
More like a docudrama.
Yeah.
And my favorite versions of Elvis are all wrapped around sci-fi and just ridiculous stories,
yes.
You know, that really have no basis in reality.
Right.
Those are
right.
My favorite Elvis stories.
Yeah.
The myth, you know, the ridiculous myth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Them.
But, you know, like, as much as I love Elvis, I can't say 100% that the band was like totally inspired, you know, by him. So I'm not like,
sure.
I'm for sure a fan, but I wouldn't say I'm like obsessed.
Oh,
like,
right.
There are other artists I'm obsessed with.
Oh, for sure. Oh yeah. But once I get somebody who's an Elvis guy, I'm just like, all right, here we go.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I feel like I spent most of my early youth, trying to look like Elvis. Cause when this band first started out, I was trying to figure out our sound, and we teetered on rockabilly for a bit.
Okay.
And I think early, before we even recorded a record, we were like a punk rock Elvis. And then just over time, you know, just it comes with the territory of like, you know, learning the craft of songwriting. You
right.
just kind of find your own voice. And then it kind of evolved away from Elvis into what it is now, and just kind of like taking on a life of its own at this right. point.
Were you ever on the verge of using a upright bass in the band?
We did. Yeah, we did.
You did? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely did. Yeah. Yeah. That was I guess 03 to 04 was all upright bass. And this guitar right here, I've been playing since day one.
Mm-hmm.
So we were a three piece. We did, it was drums, upright bass, guitar, and then we added steel. Yeah, it was a totally different band back then. Different sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you ever, whenever you add like a new instrument, like a instrument you haven't used before, is it usually intentional or is it just like, let's see what happens with this, that sort of thing?
Man, that's a good question. There have been times where, like, I'll start playing with an instrument and I'll, you know, so when you like, I'm a guitarist first and foremost. So when I write songs, I usually write on guitar. So if I pick up a new instrument and start messing around with it, and I start getting ideas, and then I start writing songs around that instrument. And then so sometimes, yes, it's very intentional that, like, hey, we're gonna add lap steel. And when we first added lap steel, like, did it for just a little bit, for maybe a couple songs, and then just it became the sound of our band. And this guy David Rhodes Brown joined, and I mean he's a legend around here. And so now, I mean, it's just there's steel on every track. It's just like it's part of our sound. Same with violin, you know, that started out just a few songs, and then just over time got woven into the fabric of what we do. So now we kind of have like steel, fiddle working together, making these harmony parts. The same as, you know, a ska band does with horns. You know, we're doing it with steel, violin, and, you know, guitar parts.
Is it hard setting up, you know, outside of COVID? Is it tough setting up tours with that many people and like or doing like weekend stuff or whatever?
No, not really. Because now it's what do we got now? Six piece. Now we tour as a six piece. So it's not bad.
Okay,
I
well.
mean, you know, m most stages we play on, we're a little crowded. That's just kind of par for the course. I mean, it's almost sometimes it's almost fun when we're all like elbow to
Right.
elbow in on a stage. It's kind of fun. We're just kind of used to it.
Oh,
Like,
for sure.
you know, it's maybe like every three or four shows we'll be on like a big stage or a big festival where we can spread out. And on those nights where we're like on a bigger stage, we're kind of just like, oh my God, where do I go?
Yeah. Just start running around, yeah.
And we all have to be wireless anyway. So, because we're not like stepping on each other's cords and stuff. So when we do get on a bigger stage, we're able to run around and just like act like idiots.
What are you guys touring? You got a van and trailer, or what's that set up?
Yeah. Yeah. Van and trailer. Yep. Yeah. It's always been, we've never done the bus. We've always done a van and trailer or two vans.
Two vans, like two like 15-passenger van. Wow. I love the logistics. I love asking people logistical stuff.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
I was looking through y'all's Wikipedia article and I saw one interesting or a thing that was interesting to me was y'all were on or one of y'all's songs was on Teen Mom. To me, if something got licensed like that, I'd be like, oh man, this is it. All right, boys, this is the yeah. Do you remember having that feeling, or are you just like at that point you're like, all right, this is.
Well, at that point, we had the biggest thing we had done to that point was we did a bunch of X Games stuff, which was I was super excited about. And then we did Jackass and then Nitro Circus, and Teen Mom didn't come till later. So by the time Teen Mom came around, I was kind of like, huh, it'll just kind of, it's cool. So I'm not going to deny that, like, it is cool when your music is used on a show or a movie that, like, you actually enjoy. Like, it's very cool. But there's a very small population that actually, like, researches what music is used in that show. So, you know, it's, it, I think it all is a part of a larger puzzle. So like maybe getting licensing on a bigger show and then getting a write-up, doing some podcast interviews, and just doing all of it helps. But I mean, just the one thing, I can't really say Team Mom did anything for us.
No Team Mom bump.
I mean, the royalties paid decent, though. I mean, it kept us on the road. So, I mean, that's the best part about it. Actually, I remember one time we were in, I guess this was like 2010 or 11, and we had just crossed the country. And, you know, once you get past, like, God, Colorado, just trying to make it over to the West Coast, I mean, your drives are so far. Actually, I would say your drives start getting really far once you get west of St. Louis. And then you're driving like 12 hours to get from city to city.
Yeah.
And the gas starts adding up. And then, you know, of course, we were a bigger band, so you got mouths to feed. And so by the time we made it to the West Coast, we had no money. And we were just like, I didn't know how we were going to make it to the next gig because we didn't even have enough money for gas, much less making it home. And just by some stroke of luck, this royalty payment came through and hit our bank account and fucking saved the entire tour. Cause I'm not sure how we would have made it home. We would have had to like call in a favor to someone like, can you loan us like $300 so we can afford to drive, you know, back home. But yeah, all that stuff, that was a huge help.
Yeah. So do you get like, so that check, do you remember, like, was it for, like, one show? Or, like, I don't know how all that stuff works.
They don't do the, you know, it came from the record label.
Oh, okay.
And they didn't, yeah, there wasn't, like, a breakdown. Because there were, it wasn't itemized at all. So it came from, like, probably three different shows that were still airing at the time.
Yeah. Dang. That's I don't know, since normal TV is kind of like dying off. Like, I don't know how I'm sure the royalties like game has changed along with.
I mean, we haven't gotten shit since 2013 or 14.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it was probably around then when like everyone just started switching over to Netflix and just streaming.
Yeah.
And just dropping cable. And yeah, I think once that happened, like, our licensing dried up. I think shows like Jackass and Nitro Circus were very friendly to the punk rock genre. And, you know, what we do as well fit their style. But, man, once those shows stopped airing, it, like, it really dried up for us.
Yeah.
So we haven't – actually, I don't think we've licensed anything in – I don't even know, like 6-7 years.
Yeah.
And we used to do it. I mean, it was like all the time, but now we've got nothing, but whatever.
No,
no big deal. You evolve and roll with the punches. And, you know, like I said, we started this band in 2003 and the industry has changed so much in that time. And, I remember one of the hardest things about this band was trying to keep up with technology. So like streaming services weren't really a thing when we first started touring, and just trying to figure out when Spotify first hit and trying to figure out, well, how the hell this seems to be like how people are listening to music these days.
Yeah.
And you know, like it's starting to get a little momentum. Like, how do we get our music on here? And then figuring all that shit out. That took forever for us to figure that out, because it was not, I mean, as I'm sure you're aware, being a musician, like it's still to this day, it's not super easy to get on Spotify unless you have distribution. Like, you can't really do it yourself. You got to use like CD Baby,
right?
Or you got to pay someone.
DistroKid. Yeah. You can't just upload your album to Spotify.
No, exactly. Yeah. You cannot do that.
Yeah.
The label we're on now, we use The Orchard, and I've been pretty happy with them.
Nice. Yeah, it's weird. And like you said, you guys have seen like in the past, you know, 19 years, the industry has changed, technology has changed, and I'm sure, you know, and you don't know, like, when Spotify was first starting, you know, who's gonna, there's so many things that start up and just shit the bed, you know.
Yeah.
It's tough to be like, oh, this is the next big thing, you know.
MySpace is where it's at.
Yeah.
The entire world is gonna live on MySpace. This is the future.
I'm quadrupling down. Oh, man. Yeah. Do you have a tour coming up to support this album, or?
Yeah. So, you know, we're having to do it piecemeal. So, you know, in the past we would just go out for, you know, a few weeks, maybe 3 or 4 week tour, come home, rest a little bit and go back out.
Yeah.
So now, like, I'm having a really difficult time booking because a lot of the venues we were playing don't exist anymore.
Right.
And a lot of the booking agents that I used to work with don't book anymore. They've don't have the same phone number anymore. Like, the Rolodex is completely where everyone's on a clean plate right now.
Yeah.
And the venues that are still around they're fucking booked up until, I mean, July, man.
Right.
And, you know, so I'm looking at April and I'm like, we have no shows in April. And it's not for lack of trying.
Right.
Because, you know, we've been trying to like slowly ease back into booking. And then, you know, like a COVID variant would pop up and then we'd have to like cancel everything because no one was going out. And, you know, like lockdowns and things like that. So once we got into like, I don't know, January, February, it started to seem that, okay, restrictions are lifting. I think we're safe to like start actually booking again. So by the time I sat down to start booking, you know, all these venues were getting back like, yeah, we'll book you guys, but not till July. Like, ah, Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's why we don't have like a shitload of dates on the calendar right now. But, the ones we do have, I'm really excited for. They'll be good shows.
Yeah, I saw the one at Reggie's with the Flatfoot 56.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Huntington's playing that one too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like the Huntington's.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one. Yeah, you had them on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah. That's cool. That should be a hot show. How far is it from Cincinnati to Chicago?
Fast. 5 hours. Not bad at all.
Not terrible.
Yeah. Actually, I've thought this many times over the years that Cincinnati and Kentucky area is a great place for a touring band because you can get almost anywhere in 5 hours.
Yeah.
Like Pittsburgh's 4.5, Cleveland's 4, Columbus is 2. There's a lot of college towns in Ohio, Lexington, Louisville. Nashville, like 4 hours. Yeah. There's so many like good cities that you can hit in very short drive.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. What's, Murray, Kentucky. Have y'all played there? Murray State?
Murray? No, I've never heard of it.
Murray?
No.
Yeah. It's like, It's just north of Memphis, so it's like, I don't know, 2 hours north of Memphis into Kentucky,
okay.
Like in the bottom left of Kentucky.
Huh. Yeah, never been there.
Mm.
So I take it you've played there? Good time?
It was cool. A cool college town. Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah, I'll check it out. We're always looking for new spots. Yeah. I mean, especially now, dude. Like, I'm like hitting up everyone right now, just trying to figure out the new spots and, you know, other alternatives to, you know, aside from just like rolling in playing, you know, the bigger cities.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of America out there and a lot of venues. Yeah.
Do you do all the booking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. We've used booking agents in the past and, no one is going to do it as well as you're going to do it yourself.
Yeah, they don't
care. No one cares. No, no one cares as much as you do. And you know, the few times that we did work with agents, man, they take a cut of every gig, and it's just like, God damn, I could have booked this myself. But, you know, I think if you work with a better agent that can get you on, you know, festivals and maybe some opening slots for larger bands, then it's worth it. But the shit that the agents that we've worked with were getting us were things that I could have got on my own. So, right. we would try people out for a while, and it never worked.
Yeah. Do you have a really, disastrous, show story with, you don't have to use the booker's name or anything, but where you just showed up and the people were just like, there's a show tonight? Like the people working there or anything like that?
Oh God. Oh my God, man. Whew. I'm sure that there have been times that we've showed up and things have been double booked. Nothing's coming to mind. but as far as like horror stories on the road, it was actually pretty recent. We were supposed to play this festival in Indianapolis, and you know, we all hopped in the van, headed to Indy. And my steel player drove separate, and he's older, and he's David Rhodes Brown. I mentioned him earlier, mm-hmm. But he decided to drive separate, and he gets into town a little bit early and rolls his truck. He's going around going on an on ramp and just flips his truck. I mean, I don't know how many times, and. We're driving by and we see a wreck. We don't really think too much of it. And we get to the venue and he's not there. And then we got a call from someone that said, yeah, hey, just want to let you know Dave was in a wreck on his way to the hospital. And we were just like, oh, fuck, I knew it. It was the wreck that we just passed. So he, God, you don't know how many bones he broke. But we were having a tough time because it's a big city and we couldn't find out which hospital he was in. It took us, I mean, dude, it was like an hour and we weren't even sure if he was dead or alive. Oof. Because that's how bad that wreck was.
Yeah.
And the person that called, oh, I remember. Okay. I'm sorry. No one called us. We had a bad feeling. We backtracked, went to that wreck and a wrecking crew was there cleaning it up. And we asked one of the guys, like, do you know what they did? Like, this is our friend's truck. Do you know what they did? Which hospital did he go to? So the guy told us some hospital when he was wrong. So then we ended up on the phone calling around to every single hospital in Indianapolis for a solid 45 minutes. And we finally tracked him down. He's at the VA. He's a Navy veteran.
Okay.
So we get to the VA and we know he's alive, but he's in the trauma center. So they let us back in to see him and we walk in, dude's in, he's in traction, fucking covered in blood. And he just looks awful. And he looks up and just smiles at us like, oh, hey guys, oh, yeah. Real sorry. Sorry about, I'm not going to make a gig tonight.
Don't think I can make it.
Yeah. God. And, so we stayed with them until he got, you know, they got him sedated and comfortable. Got him into a room and the nurse walks in and she's asking him all kinds of medical history questions and they're going down this list and they start asking like, which drugs have you ever used? Cocaine? Yes. Have you used that? And it's just like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I've used heroin. Yes. I've used this. Yes. I've used that. just like, okay, check, check. Got it. Are you allergic to anything? He's like, no, nah, only thing I'm allergic to is kryptonite. But anyway, he pulled through. And dude, let's see, how old was he when he got in that wreck? Fuck, 65?
Damn.
And he's older. He's older than us. But, you know, he's playing an instrument that not a lot of young guys play.
It's true.
But, man, he pulled through fine. But here in the last year, you know, he's been battling some health issues, so he hasn't been on the road with us in a year. So that's been kind of tough. But yeah.
Damn.
So that's our worst road story. He rolled his truck, and it took us. We literally thought he was dead, and we finally fucking found him in a hospital.
Wow, that's wild. That man, yeah, tough earthen woodpecker lips. That guy. damn, dude. Yeah, I was expecting you to be like, yeah, we drove all the way to Indianapolis, and there's nobody at this festival. That's what I was expecting.
Oh yeah, sure. Well, yeah, you know, you get those shows every once in a while. You show up and there's just like no one there. Shit, what that? Oh, dude, yeah. Well, the opposite. We were. I'll never forget it. I don't know what town it was, but we were rolling through Montana, and we show up to this venue, and it looked like a double wide and a barn were just like welded together. Like these two buildings did not make any sense, but it was a bar. And we immediately rushed to judgment and were like, there are zero cars in this parking lot. This is the only building around for miles. There's no fucking way anyone is coming here. Is this a meth lab? Is this like what is going on here? So we decided to stick around, and about 7 o'clock, you know, bartender rolls up, unlocks the door, goes in to set up for the evening, and we're loading in our gear, and we're like, hey, where's the sound man? He's like, oh no, you guys run your own sound. It's just a PA, like just mic, you know, just vocal mic. You got it. Like, yeah. Okay, whatever. That's fine. I don't mind that. But we're still just like, there's no one going to be here. So we'll just, I don't know. We'll have some band practice. Who cares? Well, we went to get a bite to eat, and we came back, and the place was fucking sold out. And we almost, it ended up being one of the best shows. I mean, one of the best shows on that tour, actually. But I'll never forget that, because when we first pulled up, we were all considering, like, maybe we had a ditch and just keep driving west till we get to California. Like, there's no need for us to waste time here. And, man, we could not have been more wrong. So, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Those small town gigs will fucking trick you. Like, yeah. Some of our best shows have been in smaller towns, like mid market size and smaller.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude.
Damn. Yeah. If you go, you know, you go play where New Orleans or whatever, it's like a music city. There's, you know, music everywhere. And so.
Sure. Yeah.
The first time, or like the second time we tried to play in New Orleans, like Foo Fighters threw like a pop-up show like at this club like down the street, and so you're like, okay, well, not gonna be anybody here. Oh shit.
Well, was there? Were there actually people there, or did the Foo Fighters take everyone away?
Yeah, it was like the bartender. It was for like, this is when like the Foo Fighters, they had some like HBO show where they would film.
Yeah,
and they had a show, and they did one in New Orleans, and so this was like to promote that show.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, yeah, free show. You know, you just gotta mm-hmm. show up or whatever. It's free show, and there's a cap or whatever. And so it's like, okay, yeah. Nobody's coming here, but it's still fun.
I enjoy New Orleans, like not for the aspect of like, oh, tonight's going to be a rager show. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, like it's kind of like a musician vacation. You know, you're on tour, you're already on the road, and it's like, yeah, let's stop in New Orleans and drink for free for a couple days and then, you know, head out. But I can't say we've ever had any great shows in New Orleans. Not that any fault of that city at all. No. It's a great city. I wouldn't say... it just wasn't for us.
Yeah, it's a tough city to, you know, for to get people out. That
Well, I think most people, if they're traveling, if they're tourists, they want to go down there and listen to jazz. They don't want to go down and listen to a punk band. Yeah. I mean, you know,
for sure. Yeah, it's a fun city. You know, it's built underwater, built on top of a swamp, you know, in defiance of God's will, it's still a city, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother lives there, and so we'll go over there every once in a while, and yeah, it's fun. It's wild. I guess I had some questions about the actual album. I like I think my favorite song is Weight of the World.
Oh, cool.
Is
right
it,
on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There's in that one there's some like maybe I'm like projecting, but is there like some like Christian, I don't know. I grew up Catholic.
Christian soldiers?
Yeah.
I grew up Catholic too.
Okay, so yeah, anytime like a biblical reference or anything like that pops up, I'm just like, okay.
Dude, the Book of Revelation is great for a lyrical songwriter. Just go read it and get some inspiration. I use a lot of religious imagery, and I've pulled a lot of direct quotes from the Bible over the years. And I'm not a, you know, devout Catholic. I'm not
no,
a
me either.
I'm agnostic, actually.
Yeah.
Same. But I very much am fascinated with religion anyway, period. But yeah, that song is, you know, it is a pro-choice anthem. And you know, it's just sort of about a first person viewpoint of, you know, a female that is going through that and
yeah.
trying to walk to an appointment, and a bunch of super right-wing nut Christians out front with signs, you know, telling this poor girl she's a murderer.
Right.
And it's like, can you imagine being in her shoes and just feeling that hatred when all you're trying to do is to make the best decision for you, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that's what that line is.
Yeah, it's a good song. I like it.
Thank you.
That, yeah, living in Mobile, there's a big like Catholic whatever presence, and so every once in a while you'll be driving down like the main street and there's a an abortion clinic like right off, but you'll see some wacky people out like protesting, and they got
mm-hmm.
they've got some pretty vile, you know, pictures and of like actual like
yeah.
dead fetuses and stuff, and I was like, isn't this so much, you know? But yeah, it's I don't know, growing up Catholic's weird, growing up any religion's weird, I guess, if you're not like fully bought in. I don't know.
Well, you know, I think religion is such a part of culture and identity, and like I don't think religion is the problem. The problem is when certain folks get so far down the path of religion and become completely self-righteous and knowing in their heart of hearts that other people are going to hell, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's where religion takes a wrong turn, and it just takes on a life of its own that I don't think it was ever intended to have.
Yeah,
because I like religion itself, I love, like I have no problem with that part of it at all.
Right.
I have a problem with people taking it to an extreme and using it as a tool of hate and as you know, a crux for pushing super conservative ideals into our government that have no place there. You know, same old shit.
Yeah. Second verse, same as the first. Let's see here. Okay. Well, hey, we've gone like 45 minutes. I like to do a kind of a lightning round of questions, and lightning round, I say this is subjective. You know, you can answer, you can be a short
pass,
right, pass.
Pass.
Oh, this is too much pressure. Yeah, just Oh man. Okay. Are you ready for the lightning round?
Yes, my
Okay.
favorite color is black.
Is it really?
Oh yeah, I guess. Probably.
Oh man. Okay, question one. Are you hard to love, Ryan?
Huh.
Hard to Love's the name of the album for the listeners.
Right. I yes, I am.
Okay.
Should I elaborate
No,
on
you don't have to. I'm just joking.
that?
Okay, question number two. What's your favorite truck stop slash gas station on the road?
Ooh, well, I have to go with Pilot.
Ooh, it's a good gas station.
Yeah. Ooh, Sheetz. Sheetz.
Sheetz is good too.
I can't. Sheetz and Pilot.
Sheetz is good. I like the the Sheetz. They've got the automated system of you can just order whatever wild sandwich you want, even if like
And I really love the new coffee system that a lot of these places have, where it literally you push like, I don't know, 16-ounce coffee with room, and it brews like a one perfect cup of coffee, and it doesn't taste like shit like a Keurig does.
Right.
Like it tastes good.
Yeah, man. These coffee computers.
Yep.
What's the worst punk rock bathroom you've gone number two in?
Oh, I'm gonna go ahead and say the Milestone in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
I don't think there was even a stall door. Oh yeah, there was no stall door. And the toilet was not bolted to the ground, and I don't think there was actually a seat on it. So when we would get into situations like that, you know, our bandmates, we'd just kind of have to like guard the door
Right.
for, you know, watch out for each other. Yeah, definitely a Milestone.
What's your worst borders slash customs experience?
Borders? The bookstore?
No, the border.
Oh,
Not the bookstore.
oh.
Your worst Walden Books experience. No.
I don't pass. I don't have a bad story.
You guys
No problem.
haven't been detained
Yeah.
or anything?
Never had any problem. No.
Knock on wood. Jeez.
Yep. For real.
Do you drink?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, this next I preface that for this next question because sometimes I'll ask this next question not knowing if the person drinks or not, and then they'll be like, "Oh, I don't drink." And I'm like, "Okay. Moving on." What's your favorite regional beer? When I say regional, I mean like Lone's
Spotted Cow,
Spotted Cow.
New Glarus. Yeah, New Glarus Spotted Cow, which is up in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Is it good?
If you ever get the chance, if you're on tour up in Wisconsin, I actually think you might even be able to get it in Illinois, definitely Chicago. New Glarus Spotted Cow is incredible. It's like, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, it's definitely a light beer, it's a lager. But dude, it's heaven on earth
Okay.
in a bottle.
Oh man. Have you had Malort
Malort?
in
No,
Chicago?
sounds like I may need Malort.
Malort, it's not it's a grapefruit liquor. It's a Chicago thing. You can when you guys play Chicago, it's disgusting. It's terrible. That's like their bit where it's like, "Oh, you gotta try Malort." Yeah.
Okay. Are they kind of like conning the out-of-towners into drinking garbage? All right.
Jepson's Malort. What's the most expensive shirt you've bought? Or piece of clothing?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, shit. I mean, I own a suit. That's a boring answer,
That
but
is
a
boring.
suit.
Is it a Gucci suit or a Louis Vuitton suit or something
It's
fun?
a Ralph Lauren suit.
Okay.
Yeah. But shirt wise, we used to see back in 2008 or 9, we got hired to be the backup band for this semi-famous country singer. And so we had to look the part.
Right.
So we had to fucking go out and buy all these fucking Western shirts. And those are not, they're like $75 a piece for like pearl snaps.
Right.
So all of us spent a little cash because this gig paid really fucking well.
Yeah.
And we were broke. So we spent a little cash and, you know, got some matching Western shirts so we could back up the Starlet. And we did that for a bit and grew it. Did not end well. But that whole country scene fucking sucks, man.
It seems cutthroat.
It's a different, yeah. It's different world that we were not, I don't know. We kind of assumed going in like, yeah, this might suck. And we did it long enough to make some money and got out.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah, we went back to our DIY punk roots and just stayed there.
Oh man. Yeah. You could are you a do you listen to country music? Like, I don't know, old school or
classic? Yeah.
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 You could
like Merle Haggard, love Merle Haggard.
Did you think about getting like a nudie suit or anything like wild to wear?
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Oh man. What's the next one? What's your perfect pizza?
Perfect pizza is definitely in Chicago. Chicago style pizza. Sausage, green pepper, pineapple. I'm going to say Lou Malnati's is my favorite. But you can't get pineapple. None of those places do pineapple. But that would be perfect if they would add pineapple.
Are you going to bring your own like can of pineapples?
I'm going to bring my own can of pineapple. Actually, I'm just going to bring in a giant pineapple and say, ooh, slice this up, put it on my pizza.
I'm the customer. Yeah. Oh man. Okay. To go with your with that question, a follow up to the perfect pizza. What do you want on your tombstone?
I want it to be Chicago style, and I want sausage and green peppers. What do I want on my tombstone? Probably gonna be something stupid, like whoever's in charge of my funeral is probably gonna be like, oh, put a guitar on his headstone, he loves guitar.
That's right.
Did you get that? Like, oh, my cousin plays guitar, I should hook you guys up.
Yeah, man. Gotten many a Target t-shirt with a guitar on
with
it
guitar
over
yeah.
the years.
Oh,
yep.
Man, dude, I love that shit. Like, oh, I heard you're into sports, I got you the shirt with the tennis racket on it. Yeah, I don't know what's going to be on my tombstone. Oh, I know. I got a tattoo on my arm. It's a Nietzsche quote. Without music, life would be a mistake.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Like that.
So, yeah, Nietzsche will be on my headstone. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not.
Oh, man. Well, okay. Well, do you have anything you want to promote on the before we wrap this up?
I'll promote whoever the fuck does your intro music.
Yeah.
Is, oh my God.
Thanks,
is that
man.
You?
It's no, I wish. It's not me. It's my friend Brady Turner. He's been on here a couple of times.
Oh, I saw his name. Okay. Yeah. Man, that fucking guy, his pipes are so smooth.
He rips
that,
me.
Dude, your intro music is killer.
Thank
so
you.
So good.
I appreciate it.
So, yeah, I just wanted to promote your podcast.
Brady Turner. Okay, thank you.
On your podcast.
Thank you, sir.
No, I would just say, you know, please go listen to our new record. Stay up to date, you know, on our socials and on our website. We've got a lot of show dates coming up. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Cool. Just vinyl will be out. You know, vinyl obviously is delayed for everyone, but our vinyl is supposed to be out. Yeah, right. Our vinyl should be out in June. So, yep. Please check us out. Tell a friend. Come to a show. More importantly, man, come to a fucking show. Like, right. Just hang out.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, stay on for a second, Ryan.
Sure.
You had options, but you decided to talk to me, and I appreciate it.
Oh, man. Thank you for having me. Please.